Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. I'm on a United flight from Denver. Just been told it's overbooked. I am scared. Well, that's one of the thousands of funny, not funny tweets flooding social media right now, a solid 2 days after a United Airlines passenger was violently removed from a Kentucky-bound flight on Sunday. Shocked passengers on that flight took cell phone video, which went viral around the world.
Hey! Hey. Oh,
busted his lip.
Oh, my God. Look at what you did to him.
Well, that sound from that video, the incident began with an overbooked flight, resulted in a bloodied and traumatized passenger, reverberated around the world, especially in China, and outrage continues to build, especially at United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz, who issued a statement on Twitter saying, quote, "This is an upsetting event to all of us here at United. I apologize for having to reaccommodate these customers." Well, that led many angry customers to call for Munoz to be reaccommodated out of the corner office. Well, we'll hear from a crisis communications expert in just a moment. But first, we're joined by Doug Cameron. He's deputy bureau chief in Chicago for The Wall Street Journal. Doug Cameron, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, good afternoon, Magda.
What's the latest from United? Has the company said anything after its public statements and the release of the leaking of an internal email that Munoz sent to United employees?
Well, now, finally, belatedly, you might say, and I'm sure your crisis management expert will have something to say on that, they've come out, or he has come out, with the kind of apology that you might have expected with hindsight to come out yesterday, calling it a horrific event, apologizing to the passenger involved, apologizing to the world, basically, and pledging, of course, a review of all procedures. This has been, you know, a PR mess. I'm not a PR, but I can spot a mess when I see one.
Oh, indeed. Now, how did this escalate to this point where law enforcement officials forcibly removed, violently removed that passenger off the airplane?
I mean, this is the, you know, you have to bear in mind that United employees who actually weren't flying the plane, it was subcontracted to another carrier. United employees did not pull this unfortunate passenger from the plane. The call was made from the staff at the gate for Chicago Aviation Department police, who are separate from Chicago Police Department police, to escort a passenger who declined to leave the plane for, you know, his own reasons. I haven't interviewed him, so I wouldn't second guess. That is the practice. Obviously, it escalated way out of hand to the extent that it became a violent and, you know, to use Mr. Munoz's expression, a horrific incident.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think the global outrage was even further inflamed because they had overbooked the flight and they were trying to clear some seats for United airline employees to get on board.
I think the violence is what you know, what people focus
right
on, and in the background is the root cause of that, of course. You know, a small proportion of people are forcibly, you know, asked to leave planes every year in the country. That's a factor of full planes. You can cry about it, and obviously if you're involved, you're upset. It's a function of how tight basically the airline industry is. You know, in return for your quote cheap fares, you have an industry which is trying to be as efficient as possible and have the right people in the right place. If the devil's advocate argument is that these four crew members obviously displaced four unfortunate passengers and then allowed, you know, 100 plus passengers to fly in an aircraft the next morning who otherwise might have been delayed. The airline, of course, will make a profit from flying those passengers in the morning, so they're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. But this is something which, you know, does happen every day, but certainly doesn't, you know, happen to an extent where someone is physically hurt.
Well, exactly, because I think many people have experience with being denied boarding when planes are overbooked and they're offered the compensation. It usually works out, but the fact that this turned violent is virtually unheard of. I mean, Doug, before I let you go, as you know, parts of the internet have been crying out for United CEO Oscar Munoz to step down. Is the company saying, what is the company saying about that?
the company is obviously not saying anything at all about that. We have now this, you know, statement, full apology, you know, a good time after the event. It's obviously an effort to deflect those calls. Now, the internet is one thing. Investors and other stakeholders, which include you know, shareholders as well as employees, the shares have actually rose yesterday while all this was buzzing around the internet. They dropped a good bit down today. We were down more than 4%. They're now off about 1.5%. From that, you'd suggest that investors don't think there's going to be management upheaval here. On the staff side, obviously a very important stakeholder because they're in the front line with the passengers every day. You've not heard much in the sense of either supportive noises for management team, for management. They've kind of been waiting for management to get out in front of this, and, you know, finally, belatedly, management has made an effort to do that with this latest apology.
Doug Cameron is Deputy Bureau Chief for the Chicago Bureau of the Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you.
Well, what's your reaction to that horrible video of a passenger being forcibly removed from a United Airlines flight? What do you make of it? Do you think that the CEO should step down? Is it going to change your relationship with United? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or you can always send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Well, joining us now is Justine Griffin. She's Managing Director of Crisis Communications at the firm Rasky Partners. She's with us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Justine, the news being what it is, as Doug Cameron told us, United CEO Oscar Munoz just put out a new statement, and I've got it here, so I just want to read it because it just came out. It says, a message from Oscar. I'm sorry, we will fix this. Dear team. Interesting. It's to dear team. The truly horrific events that occurred on this flight has elicited many responses from all of us. Outrage, anger, disappointment. I share all of those sentiments. One above all, my deepest apologies for what happened. He goes on to say, no one should ever be mistreated this way. I want you to know that we take full responsibility. We will work to make it right. Then he goes on to say, I have committed to our customers and our employees that we are going to fix what's broken so this never happens. This will include a thorough review of crew movement and policies for incentivizing volunteers and how we handle oversold situations. We will communicate the result of our review by April 30th. I promise you we will do better. Sincerely, Oscar. So that just came out just this afternoon. Too little, too late.
Well, it's the right tone. He's saying all the right things. He's just saying it so belatedly that the question is it enough to staunch the bleeding, really?
I mean, from your expertise as a crisis PR manager, is it? The bleeding has been going on for 2 days now.
Right. I mean, you know, you listen to the stock price dropping to, you know, international upset in China, you know, which is obviously a huge opportunity market for them. It's hard to see that one belated statement's going to be enough. I think, you know, one good example, and he should put on speed dial the CEO of JetBlue, it was 2007, because I looked up, I remembered some of the details. They had their own crisis/fiasco.
When all those people were stranded on the tarmac for 8 hours, if not more.
Right, Valentine's Day. Yeah. And what he did is, you know, the complete playbook is he came out, CEO doing all the talking. He did the morning shows, tons of interviews, and had, you know, abject apology, talked about the treatment of the customers, apologized repeatedly, offered amends, you know, committed to fixing it. And you see some of those pieces in this statement. And then he found a way to, because he had the spotlight, double down, recommit to customer service, talk about, I think he was the first one, passenger bill of rights, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And he owned it and he got the company through it.
So we almost saw the exact opposite over the past couple of days from United, right? Because their first response on Sunday was to say that the passenger, quote, refused to leave. And then on Monday, the United CEO did offer a more detailed statement, writing on the airline's Twitter account that it's upsetting for all of us. Then that now infamous statement, I apologize for having to reaccommodate those customers. I mean, not only was there a lack of an apology, but the choice of words was, you know, to once again, just to, almost as if it was business as usual.
Well, it was absurd. And what they think, you know, you can see the hand of lawyers in this big time. And you can see that they're telling him not to take responsibility for what is not his fault. And the security is the fault, you know, the jackbooted thugs that are dragging the guy and bashing his head against the seat rest are not his employees. They're Chicago Airline Police, as Doug was just describing. But no one else understands that because he didn't make it clear.
And it happened on board their aircraft.
Right. I mean, and so, you know, the rule number one of this is to understand how people are feeling. There's a complete disconnect between what people are seeing and what you're talking about. Obviously doesn't work. You can't sugarcoat it.
Well, and especially in the age of social media. I mean, this went around the world pretty much instantly when those first videos came out. I will note that the United passengers who shot the video and tweeted out tagged major news outlets.
So they knew they
were going to make it happen. But United is a global company, and they're looking at major outcry in China because the passenger who was forcibly removed seemed to be of Chinese origin. We don't know that much more about him. But the point being is, like, you can't control the response anymore because the response has happened by the time you figure out that an incident has occurred.
Right. And by the way, don't forget that it was United who had the problem with kicking the young girls in leggings off last week.
Or wearing leggings, yeah. Yeah.
So they're not really having a great run. I asked a colleague of mine if he thought that they had gone to the Donald Trump school of apology, you know, of PR, never apologize and just keep doubling down on your statement. But apparently, you know, the stock price caught their attention.
So tell me, you've worked with companies on crisis PR and advising them. I heard you say a little earlier that one of the key things to do is to get out in front of it, to get your CEO out there in public, you know, expressing some remorse and responsibility. What's the number one thing that stops people from doing that? I mean, I feel like we've had decades upon decades of incidents like this where companies just don't take that basic advice.
Well, I think there's two parts. One part is the vulnerability for any kind of litigation. But the second part is people decide, you know, how many people in your life refuse to admit they're wrong? You know, there's extenuating circumstances.
Not me, ever.
You know, Doug just described, wasn't their plane, it was contracted out, wasn't their security, wasn't, you know, and they misunderstand initially how severe it is, and they just kind of feel like, well, that wasn't really our fault, et cetera, rather than understanding the severity of it. You know, frequently what I would tell clients is put yourself in the shoes of either the passenger or, like, that's your family member.
Yeah.
Now tell me what the statement is.
Well, we are speaking with Justine Griffin. She's Managing Director of Crisis Communications at the firm Rasky Partners, and not surprisingly, there's a lot of thoughts and opinions about this. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's fly the friendly phone lines and go to David, who's calling from Hyde Park. You're on the air, Dave.
You know, this could have happened on any airline, the way the airline industry works today. This is just another part of the long abyss that we've fallen into, the deep abyss that we've fallen into when it comes to airline service. But, you know, at the same time, the airlines are making plenty of money, and we keep putting up with it because we want cheap fares. But, you know, that's one of the sacrifices we have to make when we want cheap fares is service and accommodation and all those things. And United, they don't want to change their policy. They really think they're in the right because at the end, that's how they make their money, on nickel and diming us. That's what the United, that's their model that they use, is nickel and dime.
Yeah, I get your point. They're still filling seats, and you know, no matter what the cost is, I think airline travel is doing pretty well. Dave, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Ariona, who's calling from Westford. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I actually am a United Gold Status flyer. I was also happened to be on the JetBlue flight years ago on February 14th. JetBlue responded beautifully. In contrast, I feel United is not responding well to getting ahead of this or satisfying their customers. So I have called to say that I will not be flying the airline until they resolve this and until they prove they are interested in their customers.
Ariona, thank you so much for your call. Justine Griffin, what could United do now to show, to demonstrate to flyers like Ariona that they are more passenger-oriented?
Well, I mean, That's where I think his statement falls a bit short. It is a, you know, sort of a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. You've got to come out with a comprehensive – he's got to be saying something substantive besides we're going to look into this. You know, and that's sort of the beauty of what JetBlue did, which is they said, here's our commitment to our customers. Here's what we stand for. Here's what we're going to do. And a lot of times when you're in this type of crisis, it becomes values-driven. And you have to demonstrate what those values are. And if the values aren't your customers, then you're going to have a problem.
I feel like history does have other examples of when things were done right. I mean, we've talked about JetBlue. The big one that business school folks learn about is Tylenol in the 1980s with that horrible cyanide poisoning. I mean, that could have completely undermined the brand forever. But again, they got out in front of it.
Right. And they had the commitment to absolute certainty of safety to their customers is what they conveyed. They, you know, they were not going to leave any room for doubt or fear, and because they were putting their safety first. And that's what they conveyed, despite how much it was going to cost them.
Yeah. We also have Toyota recently with all those airbag problems, although maybe their response was a little belated. On the flip side, VW and the emissions scandal they had. So, I mean, let me ask you, on top of that, again, I keep coming back to this because of the speed at which customers can react now due to social media. How does social media change what a crisis PR management strategy should be?
Well, speaking of social media, I have to say first, I think that there's one person who's quite pleased with this, I would venture to guess, and that's corporate communications at Pepsi. Because they just knocked them off of the social media attention. So,
oh, that ad, right.
right. Though there is some conflating of the two on social media. But, I mean, what it means now is that you have to respond instantaneously, and you have to be listening. I mean, the old school of this is all the, you know, senior officials at United go into the conference room and close the door and, like, try to figure out what to do next, and they wait to understand, and it's hours later, and they don't understand media's writing, social media's moving while they're trying to figure out. So what we encourage is the right statement early on, as soon as possible, acknowledging that you don't know all the facts, but saying, you know, we're committed to getting to the bottom of this, et cetera.
Yeah. And what about other platforms? Like, I'm looking right now at United's homepage, just at united.com, and there's nothing on the homepage.
Well, that's this funny balance you try to do between, like, not allowing the bad news to take over, you know, to contaminate your website, for example. But once, you know, once the whole world's talking about this, then you better be having it on the webpage.
Okay, so let's take a couple of calls here. Let's start with Paul, who's calling from Quincy. You're on the air, Paul. Hey, Paul, are you with us? Paul from Quincy, are you on the air? All right, we're going to try and come back to Paul here. Let's turn to Jacob, who's calling from Charlestown. You're on the air, Jacob.
Hi there.
Hi, Jacob. What's your thought?
I'm really infuriated because I feel like with so much of what has happened recently in the last couple of years in politics, it's been made so clear that there's such division in our social classes to have these CEOs raking in so much money and have it be their focus solely on profit that they have to have the liability aside that side as well. Quite honestly, this CEO, I'd love to submit him to the same policy where we ask him to relinquish his seat, and if he doesn't, drag him out of the boardroom.
Jacob, thank you so much for your call. Justine, give me a quick thought on that, because that's a lot of what I've been seeing on social media, this very powerful chafing against what people believe is corporate arrogance being displayed also here by United.
Well, I mean, I think it's that's exactly the way it comes across. And even the more they double down on the statement, well, it's important to get our employees on there, is, I mean, it is antithetical. It is the complete opposite of what a customer service-driven culture is. And, you know, and he's got to figure out whether he can get in control and change that message, or he will be reaccommodated.
I'm going to take one more call here. Paul is calling from Quincy. Hope we've got you this time, Paul. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What's your thought?
Okay. I'm glad you got to me. I've been a flight attendant with United for 18 years. Now, absolutely, I can understand the situation, and United is absolutely at fault here. If they can't afford to buy these seats back from someone that purchased this ticket, They should have kept up in the money. They needed to move crew members to a destination because there may be a mechanical on an aircraft. So they needed those seats to move these crew members. Well, to just offer them up to $800, they should have kept up in the money. United has the money. They have plenty of money. They're top heavy. They've always been top heavy. At one point, they had 75 vice presidents. So, you know, for anybody to think that, you know, this guy, I don't know what his story was. You know, nobody should be dragged off a plane like that.
Paul, let me just jump in here. Let me ask you. So you said you're a retired United employee. Were you a flight attendant?
Yes.
Okay. So I mean, give us your thoughts on how the United CEO Oscar Munoz communicated with employees. I mean, he sent out that internal email that we read a little bit earlier, saying, "Hey, I'm with you. We're trying to figure this out." I mean, do you think he gave adequate leadership to the employees at United who had to deal with a lot of potentially angry customers worldwide in the past couple of days?
Well, you know something. If they handled it, United. The problem with United is they got too much money, and that's the problem. They got too many. They're top heavy. They've been top heavy. They've always been top heavy, and now you know the employees are getting. Don't get me going because after 9/11, the pay cuts were just unbelievable. We took a 35% pay cut, the flight attendants.
Yeah,
it was crazy, but we had 75 vice presidents getting bonuses. So, you know, the frontline employees. Taking the heat every day now on these aircrafts when all they had to do was keep offering more. Years ago when an airline overbooked a flight, I remember TWA counting up to $1,500 to buy someone off an airplane.
Paul, I'm going to have to take it back from you. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but thank you so very much for your call. Justine Griffin, we're flat out of time, but one last little thought here. I mean, I want to ask the same question to you that I asked of Paul. A CEO wasn't just communicating to all his customers, but especially, like you said, United, its customer business is what they do in the form of aircraft and air travel. I'm not sure he provided adequate leadership for his thousands of employees on how to handle it.
No, and I don't think he did, and I don't think there was much in his public statement of, you know, we are X 100,000 of employees strong who work hard every day, and you know, and this has completely undermined how people feel about the great care that they take every day. There was none of that yet either, and it needs to be there.
When do you think Oscar Munoz should do his first interview? He hasn't done one yet, as far as I can tell.
I'm betting he's on a morning TV, full round robin tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Possibly.
It's your real answer is he should have done it on Sunday night.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Justine Griffin is Managing Director of Crisis Communications at the firm Rasky Partners. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thanks.
And ladies and gentlemen, keep those comments coming. Go to our website, radioboston.org, and let us know what you think about what happened on United Airlines. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We will be right back.